Let me just get a quick show of hands of anyone who has read this passage before and wondered, what in the world is Jesus talking about? Okay, yeah. This passage has always proved to be one of Jesus's most difficult. So it's okay if you're confused. If you're not confused, you probably weren't paying close enough attention. And it's confusing in part because there's this huge cultural gap between us and the original hearers of what Jesus was saying. These were people, for example, that were very familiar with Old Testament prohibition against lending money at interest. So they were also familiar with ways that people tried to get around that by lending commodities like oil and wheat, and therefore they would charge interest on those things. But in light of all the things that we're doing in worship today, I have a very limited amount of time to describe or hope to explain what's going on here. So here I go. Pray that I can pull this off. A rich man has a manager. That's easy enough to understand. And that manager is the steward of the owner's household. He's in charge of the estate, and he has the authority to transact business on behalf of the owner. So the problem is, though, so that we're good there, right? You have a manager. He's in charge. He has full authority to conduct business on behalf of the owner. The problem that he has, though, is that the owner has caught him, it says, wasting the owner's possessions. So he's fired, or sacked, as they would say in Britain. And we are Anglican, after all. Now, this dishonest manager, he's panicked. What am I going to do? I don't know how to do anything else. I don't want to become a beggar. And so in his last few moments as manager, he seeks to ingratiate himself to the owner's debtors so that those people would owe him favors. And why does he want them to owe him favors? Because he's looking out for his future well-being. He's thinking, well, if they owe me favors, then at least they would receive me into their houses and he won't be homeless. So he's trying to think of, how can I get in good with these people so that they will take care of me? And so he goes to one customer and he reduces that customer's bill basically from 100 measures of oil to 50 measures of oil. Then he goes to another debtor, and he reduces that debtor's bill from 100 measures of wheat to 80 measures of wheat. Now, it's obvious why that would please the debtors, right? Their debt is being cut in significant amounts. And so you would think, well, the owner is probably going to get very frustrated by this. When the owner finds out, he's not going to be too pleased. But when Jesus tells the story, it's a surprise because the owner ends up commending the manager that he just fired. He commends him for his shrewdness. You know, this was a very shrewd move. Now, there's part here that's lost in translation that we'll never know. But there are some theories. So why would this guy be commended for discounting the owner's, you know, discounting to the owner's debtors? You know, it could be that what he was doing was cutting out his own share, his own commission, you might say. So it could be that he's simply cutting out his own commission, and therefore he can cut these debts, give the owner what is owed him, but he just is not getting any compensation. It could be that maybe these debts were hard to collect, And so by reducing the amount owed, it helped the people to pay, and it generated basically an influx of cash for the owner. We're not sure exactly what is going on there. But we have to remember, it's just a parable. It's a story. And the point is that the master commends the manager for his shrewdness. He's shrewd in looking out for his future well-being. Now that's the parable. And the application that Jesus makes really centers on the issue of financial responsibility. Jesus makes this clear in his explanation. He applies the parable both as a comparison and a contrast. In contrast to the manager, Jesus' disciples must not be people who use their money unrighteously. But like the manager, they have to, you know, we're called to use our money in such a way that it helps prepare for our future life, life in the kingdom of God. The people of this world, Jesus is saying, the people of this world often show more concern and skill in taking care of their earthly well-being than do the people of light. That's a phrase that Jesus used to describe his followers. So oftentimes people of the world use more concern and skill than do the people of light in taking care of eternal matters. And what is the point? You know, why does it really matter how we manage our money? Why is that important? Because, as Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And in verse 12, Jesus asks specifically, why should you be trusted? If we're not trustworthy in handling worldly riches, why would God entrust us with true riches? But if we prove trustworthy with things of very little significance in the ultimate sense, things like money, then we'll be trusted with things of much greater significance in the kingdom of God. And so in this parable, Jesus makes a strong claim that it is important, that he cares about how we handle our money. God cares because it is perhaps, and this is something we all really have to wrestle with, it is perhaps the clearest indication of what we love. Of what we love. Jesus says it plainly, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The way we handle our money signals the object of our affections. And so for Christ followers, managing our money should reflect our love for God. How we handle our money is also a sign of spiritual maturity. The Apostle Paul, he talks about the grace of giving. The grace of giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. What does that mean, the grace of giving? In the same way that there are graces or fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on, so too there is a grace of giving, a generosity that is fueled in us by the Holy Spirit. And so there's a very direct and positive relationship between our spiritual growth, the work of the Spirit in us, and our ability to manage our finances. How we handle our money matters. Not the amount we make, but how we handle what we make. It's like a test. It's a crucible that prepares us for other responsibilities before God. And it raises the question that Jesus is asking all of us. Why should you be trusted? Have you proven yourselves trustworthy in this basic area of life? And if not, how can I trust you with much greater things? You know, maybe there are some of you, in fact, I know there are some of you here today for whom this is not a new message. In fact, following Jesus and the way that you handle your money is something for you that is a very high priority, and you've been doing it for a long, long time. And if that's you, then great. That's fantastic. Bless you for your obedience to Jesus. It's wonderful. And I would encourage you to thank God for his generosity toward you and the grace that he has shown you, and to pray that God would lead you into opportunities to help others in this very important arena of our Christian lives. I suspect there are also some of you for whom this message, whether it's new or not, maybe it stings or it hurts more than it helps. Maybe it reminds us of financial mistakes we've made that we can't seem to escape, or the financial security that we've worked so hard to attain, but yet it seems to still just be out of our reach. My hope for you is that God would really come in and break that feeling of despair. You know, part of the gift of being a Christian is that it frees us from having to maintain the illusion that everything is okay. Because oftentimes it's not, right? It's not okay. It frees us from having to live in the illusion that we don't need help. We do need help. And none of us are here. None of us are here because by our own merits, we should be trusted. We're here because in spite of ourselves, God calls us to be trustworthy. And if that's you this morning, I want to invite you to a different kind of prayer. A prayer that God, by his grace, would help you to make a new start today. And if you can find the courage, I want to invite you to contact a member of our pastoral staff. All of our emails are on the website. It should be easy to find that on the website. You just go to the heading that says About, and it has our staff, clergy. You just click on that, and you can get any of our email addresses and contact us. Because we would love to speak with you. We would love to help connect you with people and resources that can really make a difference in your life as it relates to this whole area of managing money. Why should you be trusted? Why should any of us be trusted? Only because of the grace of God. You know, whether you've been managing your money wisely for years or you're making a new start today, in either case, it is a reflection of the gracious activity of God's Spirit in your life.